The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It is June 25th.
Yes, the appointed day, the day of your birth.
June 25th is a special day, and I have a special lady in the studio.
Yes, they say it's your birthday.
Yes, it is my birthday today. And
happy birthday to you.
Well, Debbie agreed to come in today as in honor of my birthday, and so we're going to talk about relationships today. There's lots going on in the world, but we're going to take a break from that. I know Jenna covers that really well, and so we're going to take a little break from that, although I will say this. I did an interview, a short little brief interview with Steve Jordahl yesterday from American Family News, and he was talking about Trump kind of losing his temper and cussing in an interview, and he said, "What do you think about that?" And I was like, well, obviously that's disappointing when he does that, but I can understand that a guy that's got a ton of pressure on him and he's getting criticized from people on his own team. I mean, the Democrats are going to criticize him for breathing, but when people on your own team are criticizing you, you can start to feel very isolating. I think what he did with bombing Iran was a good thing. I think coming to Israel's aid is a good thing. I think God will bless him for that. I think the Operation Midnight Hammer was a great success, and our guys all came home safely, and so we praise the Lord. But Steve was asking me, he said, what should people be praying about concerning President Trump? And I said, we just pray that God would give him wisdom and that God would strengthen him, protect him, encourage his heart. He needs to hear from Christians, especially on social media. He needs to know that we're praying for him and we're for him and not against him. And he's not a perfect guy by any stretch of the imagination. And so, Debbie, can you turn that off, please?
I know. I was trying to look up a verse.
You hit the volume button and it turns it down.
I know. Okay, birthday boy, back off.
Anyway, so all that to say, we just need to be praying for him and praying for our leaders. The Bible commands us to do that. And especially that Trump, he seems like he's very, very open to the Lord, and that if he hasn't made a decision for Christ, you know, we can't see into his heart. But if he hasn't done that he would do that very, very soon. He's very different this go-round than he was in 2016. And so, obviously, getting shot and almost getting your head blown off does...
That's a little wake-up call.
Definitely a wake-up call. Okay, changing gears. Psalm 66. I was reading Psalm 66 this morning in my quiet time. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. And then it goes on to say this in verse 12. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. Debbie, that was always a special verse for me, Psalm 66, verse 12, because I think about that pastoring First Baptist Texarkana. We went through fire.
And multiple fires.
We went through water, and that word for water is also a word that's used, the water of the feet or urine. Not a pleasant thing to think about. But I always pictured that from the movie Shawshank Redemption, mm-hmm. where Andy has that big rock and he's breaking the sewer pipe, and he walked through hundreds of feet of sewage to get into the clear water and the pond and clean himself up, and then he found freedom.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think about that with a lot of pastors who are in difficult situations, and you go through a sewer pipe, so to speak, with dealing with people opposing you and difficulties. Marriages can do that too. And here's what you don't need to do. You don't need to say, I quit, I'm out, this is too hard, and you know, this is, I just can't stand this anymore. Because on the other side of that, you get to a place of abundance. So you experienced all that with me over these years. We've been at First Baptist Texarkana since 2003.
Sure did.
And so what did you think about the water of the feet?
The water of the feet is a horrible experience. It's definitely a growing experience. And to some extent, all of us in life are going to walk through something that is going to be like that, mm-hmm. right? And we all have our different experiences, but you know, this life that we walk in this fallen world, we're going to have trials, we're going to have tribulations, we're going to have sorrows, we're going to be tested, all of those things. And I think it's so important to remember that the verse in 12 says that we went through it. We didn't get stuck there. Mm-hmm. We went through it. We got to the other side. And that takes intentionality, and it takes determination. It takes discipline. It takes not living on your feelings, but living on the truth of God's word. It takes all of those things that we've talked about so much. And it's a great practice field mm-hmm. for learning those skills and learning how to do that. And I can remember one time in particular, you know, just we were just, you know, so discouraged, and remember thinking, you know, Lord, why do you have us in this place of such discouragement, and where we feel like we're just getting attacked on almost every side, not every side, but almost every side. And it was like, okay, but this is where you have us. And until you leave us, we've got to be faithful mm-hmm. where we are.
Right.
You know, and as desperately as we wanted to be out of that situation, right?
Yeah.
It was like, okay, if we get outside of what God's will for our life is, we're going to look back and that would have been utopia compared to where we're going to be now, because you never want to be outside the will of the Lord. And we just knew that his will was for us to be where we were.
Right.
And as hard as that was, we just kind of dug our heels in.
Well, you think about David on the run from Saul. He didn't understand why Saul was trying to kill him. It didn't make sense to him. He's the next king. God had anointed him when he was just a kid, you know, had the prophet Samuel anoint him. But man, he struggled from the time he was leading the armies at about the age of probably 18 or so. He was on the run till he was 30. And mm-hmm. Saul was always trying to kill him. He said, there's not a step between me and death. And and lots of difficulties. You read the story of David, lots of difficulties in his life. But God was teaching him mm-hmm. through all of that.
Well, and he had so many opportunities to take matters into his own hands and retaliate. Mm-hmm. And he never did that with Saul. You know, he always respected Saul's position, and more than anything, respected his own position as a servant of the Lord.
Right.
And being obedient to what the Lord said to do. And I think that's a good message to us as well. We're often so tempted to take matters into our own hands to make things right and to prove that we have a right to be right and mm-hmm. and all of that, and to really just leave that with the Lord.
Well, you know, when he encountered Saul in the cave, and mm-hmm. Saul didn't know he was there, Saul was relieving himself, and
right.
David kind of army crawled, I guess, over to him, and he cut the edge of his robe, and his guys that were with him said that the Lord has delivered him into your hand, just go slay him. But he couldn't do that. He said, that's right. The Lord's anointed. I can't do that. And then he felt bad for cutting the edge of his robe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then he approached Saul as Saul was leaving the cave and said, hey, you know, I could have killed you, but I didn't. You're the Lord's anointed. And so he just trusted God through all of that. I like what you said about we went through fire and through water. You don't stay there. Andy Dufresne, however you say his name, mm-hmm. in Shawshank Redemption, went through the sewer pipe. He didn't stop and let's build a house here.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to live here. And so Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. And so our listeners, you're out there and God knows what you're going through. But don't build your house there in the valley of the shadow of death. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep walking with him one step at a time and know that you'll go through that marriage problem. God will bring you to a place of abundance. The only time that doesn't happen is when you throw in the towel and quit.
Mm-hmm. What was that Jerry Falwell quote, that it's always too early to quit?
It's always too early to quit. He's famous for saying that. Mm-hmm. And so it's a good little phrase to have in your mind, because the devil will always tell you it's too hard. God's not answering your prayers. You need to just throw in the towel. You need to quit. You need to quit your church. You need to quit the marriage. You need to quit this pastorate. You need to quit this job where they're not treating you right.
Just quit trusting God.
Yeah, quit trusting. You just go follow the advice of Job's wife, curse God and die. You can't do that. And so when bad things happen, when tragedy strikes, you don't curse God and die. You trust God and live and just say, God, I don't know how you're going to use this, but I know that you're going to use it, because as my friend John Bassanio used to tell me when I would talk to him about the difficulties at church, he said, Jeff, Romans 8:28 is still in the book. Mm-hmm. And Romans 8:28 is still in the book. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so now, Debbie, here we stand 22 years later, and God has brought us into a place of abundance. Mm-hmm. And we love our church. We love our church family. We haven't had a perfect marriage, but we've had a good, solid, strong marriage, and one that we can say, hey, follow us, do marriage the way we're doing it, because that's the way of blessing, you know, and when you walk with the Lord, he does bless you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So anything to add to that?
Not off the top of my head, no, but thank you for asking.
Okay, very good. We're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about some major issues in marriage that cause people to want to quit, that it's the fire and it's the water. And this is in relationships, but mainly in marriage. And I asked AI about that. What are the main issues in marriage today? Number one on the list, drum roll please, communication mm-hmm. breakdown.
Yes.
That is always in a difficulty, you know, between people, between nations, mm-hmm. it's communication breakdown. Mm-hmm. Or the communication is just so hostile, you know, like Israel and Iran. What's Iran's communication? We lived and exist for you to die. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty difficult communication problem.
Right.
That you are going to have communication breakdown there. But in marriage, we hopefully go into marriage saying, I love you, you love me, we want to have a great marriage, we're for each other, we're not against each other. We can have issues that we disagree on, but we don't disagree on each other.
Right.
And we want this to work. So poor communication, including...
Well, I think, too, that when you get married, when you're dating, you communicate a lot, right? Because you're getting to know each other, mm-hmm. and you're finding out the little nuances of each other's personalities. And even guys that aren't real talkative talk a lot more in the dating phase. But when you get married and it's day in, day out, and you have learned a lot about each other, particularly, you know, when you get 30, 40 years into marriage and you think, okay, yeah, I've lived with this person for this long, I know them. And there's always new things to learn, but we come into marriage with such different communication styles. And just because of our selfish natures, we have a tendency to only want to see things from our vantage point. And that comes out in our communications as well, mm-hmm. that we're right, that the way we see it is correct. And we have to be real careful with that.
Well, it's the illustration you always use when we talk about this, the coffee cup. with right. the handle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if to the audience, the handle's on the right, and to you, the speaker, the handle's on the left, because you see it from a different perspective.
Right.
And we have to give freedom for people to have a different perspective. And one of the goals in communication is to see things from other person's perspective and see if you can understand where they're coming from. Now, they may be, it may be flawed, but at least you can discuss it and say, okay, well, you believe this because of this lie that might have crept in. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about Psalm 66, verse 12. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about Psalm 66, verse 12, where the Lord says, we went through fire, or the word says, we went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. As we stated in the first segment, the famous quote from Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr., it's always too early to quit. That is a great phrase to have in your mind and in your heart, because you're going to run into situations where you just want to quit. You just want to throw in the towel. It's always too early to quit. So in marriage, as we are talking about that all-important relationship, communication breakdown. That's one of the number one problems in marriage. And studies show around 60% of couples cite communication as a primary struggle and eroding trust and connection. So they don't trust one another when they communicate and there's not a connection.
Well, I think, too, that quote from Jerry Falwell stands so true in this issue of communication, because when we're trying to communicate with each other and the other person is just not getting it, they're just not understanding how we saw the situation, what our feelings are, why we're feeling the things we're feeling about it, etc., it can be so easy to just say, okay, just forget it. We're just forget it, you know, and just quit communicating. And that's the worst thing that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've talked before on this broadcast about the fact that men speak testosterone and women speak estrogen. And mm-hmm. so I can remember often in our marriage when we were not seeing eye to eye, how we just had to keep coming back and okay, let me illustrate it this way, you know, what about this? And so I know that I would do this, where I would just keep coming back with a different kind of parallel story to try and get us to where we could at least understand each other a little bit better. And the key to that was, A, I asked the Lord to reveal that to me so that he could show me, hey, how can I communicate what I'm feeling in such a way that Jeff isn't going to feel attacked, but he's going to feel his eyes are going to be open to understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And God was always faithful to do that, but it didn't necessarily happen on the first or second try. I had to keep trying and keep coming up with new ways to communicate that. And I think that's so important to realize that even in those types of things, it's always too early to quit.
Well, and two, when you run into a communication problem, you're fighting about X. Maybe it's a situation like we had this. You said, Jeff, we need to sell our house. This was years
yes.
and years ago. The neighborhood is going down. We need to get out while we can mm-hmm. and still make good on the house. And I was like, no, you know, the house is fine. I like where we live. It's good. And you're like, no, I'm telling you, we need to. Well, you didn't just nag me, but you just gently reminded me, Jeff.
Periodically.
I really feel this. And then I finally came around. And so
you had this aha moment, like all of a sudden this was just a brilliant idea that you had come up
yeah,
with.
Yeah, the place was going down. And so we did get out, we made some money on mm-hmm. our house, and then that area went down.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have, then people were stuck, they couldn't
mm-hmm.
get out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you know, on certain things you got to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think wives see, obviously, wives see things from a different perspective than men do, and we need to allow for the differences, and just to know, guys especially, just know that your wife is going to have women's intuition. That's a real thing. And she's going to have some of that. It's not infallible, but it is there. Mm-hmm. And your wife will see things you
don't
see.
And often that intuition is not necessarily explainable. Like, I cannot give you A, B, C, D, E in a linear line as to why I have that intuition. I just know that I do.
Right.
And so because you are so exact, precise, black, white, all those kind of descriptors, when we first got married, that was difficult because I would have had discernment, intuition about something. And because I could not in a linear fashion just explain every single reason of logic behind that intuition, you would dismiss it. And it's not always linear. It is just like, okay, wait, I just sense this and I can't explain it.
Right.
And over the course of time, you learn to really appreciate that and value that. But that wasn't an instantaneous thing that you had to value that.
No, and so it's good just knowing, and a lot of times in marriage, you know, you got to know that your spouse is going to have a perspective that sometimes is a lot clearer than yours.
Right.
And so don't get so locked in, it's my way or the highway type thing. You have to give room for a person, everybody's got blind spots. And so if you don't recognize, well, maybe she sees something, or the reverse, mm-hmm. he sees something I don't see, and so I need to pay heed to that. Mm-hmm. And then we do this in marriage. You know, marriage is about mutually submitting one to another. Now, the wife is commanded to respect her husband. She submits to her husband in terms of him being the leader. But that doesn't mean she submits. He just says, well, I'm the leader, you're going to do what I say on every issue. Sometimes we as husbands need to say, okay, well, you feel strongly about this, I don't, but it's not a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. And so if that's important to you, mm-hmm. then we'll do it. We'll do it the way you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes husbands can get themselves in trouble if they just have this, it's always going to be my way, and then it becomes very dictatorial. Pastors can get in trouble like that too, because not everything is a hill worth dying on. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the leader, we're going to have blue carpet, and who cares what the color of the carpet is? You don't want to destroy the fellowship because of something that's minor. Mm-hmm. I think too, Debbie, in terms of the intimacy in marriage, there has to be good communication there. And, you know, what is not to get too deep here, but what do people feel comfortable with? Don't, you know, we used to tell in our Sunday school class, guys, don't ever force your wife to do something she's not comfortable with, you know? And if, you know, Romans 14 says, this faith that you have it as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. And if you think something's wrong, it may not be wrong, but it's wrong for you.
Right.
And so you can't violate your conscience.
There is a definite link between communication and intimacy, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not just physical intimacy, but for a woman in particular, if you're not having emotional intimacy where you're communicating and sharing your heart with each other and understanding each other and really closely walking through life together, her desire for physical intimacy is grossly reduced. And so it's so significant to understand that communication is at the root of all of those things, mm-hmm. you know, because sexual intimacy is a form of communication, absolutely.
Right.
But we have to be able to verbally communicate with each other as well to set the stage for that to be all that God wants it to be.
Well, you were talking about in the dating phase, there's lots of communication. Mm-hmm. And so in the dating phase, there's lots of hormones taking place there and lots of I want you in a person's heart. Mm-hmm. And I think for a woman, it's because you're filling her emotional tank. She's very interested in responding to you physically. That's why it's difficult for couples, to say no to that. Then they get married and they're like, how come it's not the same? Now we've fallen into this rut, and where's the spark that was there before? Well, a lot of it has to do with the husband is not communicating like he was. He's not pursuing his wife like he was, and you need to keep pursuing. You need to keep dating. You know, I say that in when I do weddings. Don't ever stop dating, and keep the romance alive. So, not only communication, but now another one that's a big problem in the relationship, financial stress.
Yes.
Money disputes, spending habits. Typically, a spender marries somebody that doesn't want to spend. A spender with a spendthrift. No, we're watching every dime we can't spend. That can cause a lot of fireworks. It says about 35% of couples report finances as a major conflict source, especially with rising costs and economic uncertainty. Now, in our marriage, how did we get along with the finances?
Well, I think neither one of us are big spenders. Now, out of the two of us, I am more of a spender than you are, but I have never been a huge spender. And so I can remember my mom just making fun of us, like, you know, between the two of you, if you got a drop of blood out of the turnip, it would be fortunate, you know, because neither one of us did that. So we were very fortunate in that we never got ourselves in a position that we were overextended. And there's a lot of security from a woman's vantage point when you are in that position where you're not overextended, where I can go to the grocery store and I don't have to worry about, you know, buying two extra brownie mixes or whatever. And I don't have to worry about, are we going to be able to pay our electricity bill because we're living in a house that's under our means as opposed to over our means. And I think that those are habits for some people that have to be learned. For some people, they learned them growing up in their family of origin, but others didn't. And so when you come into the marriage with those completely different views on money, that can be difficult. But money is to be used as a tool. It's not used to imprison you. That's not what it's designed to do. So you have to make sure that you have the right outlook upon money. And I know too that we were always committed to not stealing from the Lord, to make sure that we gave him back what was rightfully his, that 10%, and then gave him above that as well. And he always has blessed us for that. Even on paper, when things did not make sense, he always made a way and always provided for us.
You know, Tim LaHaye has an interesting book. It's called Smart Money. I don't know if it did really well, but one of my favorite books. It had to do with the personality types.
And how you spend.
And how personality types spend. And so the outgoing, sanguine, never meet a stranger type person tends to be very extravagant in their spending. And I've known guys over the years that fits them to a T. Mm-hmm. You know, if you play golf with them, they're going to have to go to the golf pro shop and buy a shirt and a hat. And, and those things are expensive in the pro shop. And so me, who as a phlegmatic, laid back, don't like to spend money, melancholy type person, and be like, that's a terrible use of money. You know, I'm the guy that, you know, when I was an outside salesman, I'd go through the drive-through and get a burger and water. It was on the dollar menu. It was $1.07.
And big spender.
You used to laugh at me and say, hey, splurge and get a Big Mac or something like that. You know? But I would never want to do that because I just thought, well, I don't need that. And so what is a need? But you can get yourself into a lot of financial stress if you're spending money like it's going out of style.
Well, and I think social media plays such a role in that in today's culture, because people get on social media and they see other people's homes, they see how other people live, how other people dress, what kind of jewelry this woman has, how put together they are, etc. And boy, that comparison game can just get amped up really, really quickly. You know, we didn't have social media in our early years of marriage, and all of us were poor. I mean, so when you're around everyone who doesn't have money, you don't know that you don't have money, right? But I think in today's culture, it's so much easier to see other people and covet what they have and mm-hmm. and be envious of what they have and think, okay, well, you know, yes, this is going to strap us, but it's worth it. Let's get that $500,000 house. You know, we might not be able to do anything else, but man, I just want that. All of our friends have that. And so it's easy to get caught in that trap.
Yeah, and that's buying a house that you can barely afford makes you house poor.
Right.
And then you can't do anything else. We always conducted our marriage financially with margins. And so we didn't buy the max of what we could afford. We mm-hmm. bought under that. Mm-hmm. And you don't buy the max car you can afford. And we didn't ever like to buy a car that we had to pay for over time.
Right.
You know? So those things just, they go a long way in taking out that financial stress. How about this one, Debbie? Infidelity and trust issues. Cheating, whether it's emotional or physical, impacts roughly 20% of marriages.
And that seems like a low percentage to me. Does it?
Yeah, I would say, especially on the emotional side, mm-hmm. You know, people play around the edges there.
Yes.
And, you know, I remember I had a friend of mine tell me one time, he would tell me about these girls that would come on to him. And I'd be like, I never have that, girls coming on to me. You seem to have that a lot. And then I realized, oh, it's because he was advertising. He had like a green light mm-hmm. On his forehead, so to speak. And I had a red light on my forehead. And Debbie, as you know, women don't want to be rebuffed. If they're going to start flirting with you, they're not going to want that to go unnoticed or unreciprocated. And so if they sense a red light, they're not going to do that. Isn't that true?
That's true. Yes.
So we have to watch out for that. You can't have any, you can't play around the edges there. Mm-hmm. You know, choose your love, love your choice. And once you say I do, then quit shopping.
Right.
You bought your spouse, so to speak, and leave the store.
Right.
And do we notice attractive men and women? Hopefully men for the ladies and women for the men. Yeah, we can notice that, but you don't, as my friend Bob Lapine said, bounce your eyes. When you see somebody you think is really attractive, notice that and then look away. Mm-hmm. And don't keep staring, because that'll get you in trouble. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. When we come back from the break, we'll continue this discussion and we'll take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Listen, it's always too early to quit. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners just like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. So please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here along with Debbie, and we're talking about the subject and the statement, it's always too early to quit. Psalm 66 verse 12 says this, "You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance." As Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because you are with me." Well, we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you as Debbie and I continue this discussion to talk about relationship problems and how we have to go through the ugly things and the difficult things to get to the other side, to that place of abundance. And you can't quit when God has called you in marriage to love your wife and to respect your husband and to go the distance, and not only a marriage that survives, but a marriage that thrives. And God will bring you to that place of abundance as you trust Him. And so we have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, guys, appreciate you my call. Happy birthday, Pastor Jeff. I've looked at my clock 30 times since the top of the hour. I was wanting to get in. I think we're about the same age and everything. And yes, just want to wish you guys all the best in the name of God and morning. I see that I listen to my regular listeners. And I just want to tell you on the funny side, I was so proud hearing Miss Cooper here the last couple of days. I saw a dog chase and a cat and a dog walking.
Well, thank you, Greg. You sound like you're in a barrel or something. It's very muffled. Okay. Well, thank you, Greg. That means a lot. I didn't get a lot of that, but I appreciate the sentiment. I appreciate the happy birthday, my friend, and thanks for listening to the program. Thanks for calling in. Okay, Debbie, so we were talking about communication problems in marriage, then it's number one issue, then financial stress, then trust issues. We don't want to do anything that would cause our spouse to distrust us. Now, here's one of the difficulties, and this is before you say I do. You need to talk through things, hurts from the past that would cause you to not trust your spouse, because your husband, your wife-to-be can do nothing, and you just have this distrusting personality because you've been hurt in the past, and that's not fair. So you have to unpack that baggage and know that it's there and deal with it so you don't go into the relationship. I counseled this one couple, and it was hard to deter them from getting married, but she had major trust issues. She had gotten cheated on by her husband, and so she was bringing that into the marriage. And I just knew this poor guy is never, she has a standard that is perfection. Mm-hmm. Well, he's never going to be able to hit that. And then
right.
She's going to say, see, you, that's why I don't trust you, because you didn't come home when you said, you didn't do what you said, or whatever. It's, you can't have that kind of, if the standard is perfection, then everybody fails.
Yeah, that's a complete unrealistic expectation on multiple levels. Well, I know another one that's on this list that I think is real important in today's culture is work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see that so much, and we've seen that just in our own marriage. You know, I can remember in our mid-30s to early 40s, we had this idea that, okay, when we reach 60, 65, life is going to just be so much easier. Things are going to have slowed down. You know, our kids are out of the house. We'll be empty nesters. We won't have all these outside pressures on us. And all those things are true in terms of kids being out of our house, empty nest, but we are busier now than we have ever been. And I think that balance and trying to just that balance, having to have that balance in your marriage, that never really goes away. Mm-hmm. And so it is so important. And I know that early in our marriage, when you were in seminary, I look back on it and I don't know how you did it, because you did balance so well, because we never felt shorted or like we weren't important to you, but you had a full-time job, you were going to seminary full-time at the extension, and you were a dad and a husband. Mm-hmm. And somehow you managed to juggle all those balls. I still don't know how you did it, but you did. Papers and everything else. It was crazy.
I read Michael Scott's book, Somehow I Manage.
Somehow I Manage. Anyway, it is hard because we are all torn in so many directions, and especially in today's age, young families with their kids being in all these different activities and travel ball and all these other things that go on in their lives, and to make sure that they have time to nurture the marriage, because at the end of the day, the marriage is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. It gives your kids a solid foundation, and they are passing through your house. Mm-hmm. They may boomerang in again, but they're going to leave again. And so that relationship is the most important one, because when it all comes down to it, that's what you're left with.
Well, one of the things I think is important for guys to do, especially pastors to do, is go ahead and schedule family time. Put it on your calendar, and then when someone asks you in the church, hey, can you come to this event or do this or do that, you'd be like, hey, I'm already booked. Mm-hmm. And you can honestly tell them, I'm already booked. Mm-hmm. Because I have to have family time. I think a lot of pastors, your dad's a great example.
Yes.
He could never say no.
Mm-hmm.
He was just taught that's how you do ministry, and you're at the beck and call of the congregation. And, you know, that's admirable to a point, but not if you're hurting your number one ministry is to your wife and to your kids. That comes before the church. Adrian Rogers used to say, the church is Jesus' bride, it's not mine. And my bride is at home. And so, yes, we do a good job, we give it our all, but at the end of the day, we have to have that time with our own spouse, our own family. We saw Ken Hemphill at the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yes.
And Ken was the president of Southwestern Seminary when I graduated. And I told him, I said, I still remember certain things that you said in chapel that I've never forgotten. I said, you said one time your wife, when he was pastoring a church and life was really, really busy, said his wife called in and said to him, she said, I need to tell you about a couple in our church that's really struggling. And he's like, well, why am I just now hearing about this? You should have told me before. Who's the couple? She said, us.
Yeah.
We're really struggling. And you don't even see it because you're so busy. So that work-life balance is critical. And I would encourage couples to sit down, especially pastors, sit down with your wife and say, what can we come up with that is doable? Because, you know, you can't be unrealistic in setting up this structure that, well, we're going to have 5 nights a week at home. Well, that's probably not realistic.
Well, I think the smaller your church is, the more demands that are placed on the pastor, because there's not other people to help take some of that load.
Yes.
You know, we are very blessed where we are that we have a phenomenal staff, and they each wear a lot of different hats, and people are able to step in and take up the banter or the banner when they need to. And you know, when you're the guy in a smaller church and everyone is looking at you to be all things to all people, you know, you can know intellectually that you can't be that, but when it comes down to really walking that out, it can be very difficult because you don't want to disappoint people, you don't want to let people down, and you feel a burden, that shepherding burden, you feel that. And so my heart goes out to the guys that are the sole guy, that don't have support staff there that can really take over and help.
It's very difficult. So I think of a friend of mine, and he really leans heavily on one of his deacons to help him with a lot of that, so he can go out of town and not feel like, you know, the sky's falling if I'm not there. And you know, you just can't be there for everything. You can't be there for every hospital visit, every funeral, every marriage, wedding. You know, I mean, you got to protect some of your time. Otherwise, your own family suffers. Well, we have our good friend Darcy from Texas on the line. Darcy, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I was I retired last year, and my wife is still working, and it just seems to, it's just a little different now in our marriage. As far as, you know, when she goes to work, I think, man, she's working too much, and then when I bring it up, it's kind of like, you know, it doesn't really set a good vibe off for her, for career. But she'll retire next year. That was one thing. The other thing I was wanting to do was just to the integrity of my friend, Jeff Shreve. We were at our annual golf tournament on the 17th hole, and we were just having a terrible round. And I think all four of us were getting on each other's nerves, and there was an old golf ball from the driving range sitting out on the tee box, and I whacked it in the lake. And you convicted me, and you looked at it and you said, why are you hitting the golf ball in the water when it belongs to the golf range? And you know what? I thought about that. I said, you're right. You know, so when you hear Pastor Jeff on the radio, you not only hear him and you hear all the good stuff about him, but on the background, it's the same way. He's through and through. And I really appreciate everything you guys do. And I love you, Debbie. And have a wonderful birthday.
Thanks,
Darcy.
I appreciate that. Yeah, so, Debbie, what would you say with his situation with his sweet wife?
Well, I mean, that's just hard because it leaves her feeling like she's disappointing everybody. she's disappointing him at home, and then if she doesn't give her all at work, she's disappointing work, and so it puts her in a position to have to choose, mm-hmm. and that can be really hard. So I think just keeping the right perspective that this is a limited time, this is not forever, this is something that we will get through, just like the verse in Psalms that we're talking about today, and just focusing on that, that this, we're not, this is not our forever, mm-hmm. where I'm at home all day and she's working 10 hours a day or whatever it may be for this particular season for her. But just keeping that in perspective, that it is a short-term thing.
Right. And in marriage too, you know, one, if both spouses are working, one person's job can be a lot more demanding, mm-hmm. in terms of time and attention, and then another person's job can be, you work from home and there's a lot more flexibility. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be sensitive to the person that doesn't have the flexibility. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of jobs, you have to be there. I got a man a post. It might not be running wide open from 8 a.m. to 5, but I got to be there physically. Right. And other jobs aren't like that. So we appreciate you, Darcy. Thanks for calling in, buddy. Love you. We have Dennis on the line from Missouri. Dennis, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, good morning, Pastor and Mrs. I hope you're having a good day. Happy birthday, Pastor.
Thank you.
My question is not related to anything you're talking about, because I'm divorced and I'm in my 70s. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to learn to do late in life is learn how to study the Bible. Mm-hmm. And for years I just read, and I still read, but I've never really, it would be nice if there was some kind of a book or something that had topics, and you could start, it had a whole list of topics that you could start in and just use that book as a guide. It would, mm-hmm. it would have the verses you need to look up and everything. You know, I'm not saying I'll be able to understand all of them, but mm-hmm. it's just the fact that I want to learn, even my old age. I'm legally blind, but I still try to study as best I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very good, Dennis. I appreciate your heart for that. Yeah, there was a good book I read a couple of years ago. I'm trying to remember the title of it, but it just kind of laid out the Bible. It wasn't real long. It was about 125 pages, I think, but it gave you the story of Scripture and what is the Bible teaching from Genesis to Revelation. What are the main things and the main verses to help you understand the Bible in context? And that was very, very helpful. If you can, send me an email, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, and I'll see if I can find that book for you and send you a link to it. But I appreciate the fact that you want to study to show yourself approved as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth in 2 Timothy chapter 2. That was the theme for Southeastern Seminary. And so handling accurately the word of truth. We all need to do that. And as we spend time in the Word of God, you know, when you start out, you don't know a whole lot. I think about my journey in the Christian life. You know, I didn't know anything about the Bible, really. I knew some gospel stories and some miracles of Jesus, but I didn't know how it laid out. I didn't know the bigger context. I sure didn't know anything in the Old Testament. And so it takes time. You got to cut yourself some slack, take some time, but God will bless you as you study. All right. Well, thank you, Dennis. I appreciate that. Well, listen, it's always too early to quit. Are you in a tough time in life right now? Tough time in your job, tough time in your marriage? God does lead us in jobs and in churches. He can lead us and does lead us often to maybe a new field, a new pasture. So it's not that, you know, you never leave a job. You don't leave your marriage. Unless it's, you know, it's one of those things that's continued adultery or abandonment or something like that. But it really is always too early to quit. Trust the Lord. Keep your eyes fixed on Him and run the race that He's given you, all to His glory. So, Debbie, so thankful for you.
Thankful for you on your birthday.
Yeah. So thanks for coming on today. Our listeners always like it when you're on. And, hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And know that the Lord will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.